I'm visiting Oregon in May and will appear in Portland on Friday, May 13th. I hope you can join me at the First Unitarian Church of Portland at 7 p.m. for this fundraising event for KBOO. Visit them online at kboo.fm for more information. I look forward to seeing you on my Saving the Planet tour.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, and the time is 9:59. Coming up at 10:15, it's Flashpoints. On the 30th anniversary of the Chernobyl disaster, Harvey Wasserman examines the impacts of nuclear power today. And at 11, DeMay Roberts hosts a stage and studio special featuring Portland Playhouse's Peter and the Starcatcher and Portland Opera's The Magic Flute. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre following this.
KBOO would like to thank our community partners that donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by La Jarochitas at Southwest Altar between 9th and 10th. Lunch was provided by Dots Cafe, located at 2521 Southeast Clinton. And dinner is provided by Le Bistro Montage, 301 Southeast Morrison. You too can support KBOO. You can go online, kboo.fm, or call right now, 877-500-5266.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, April 26, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. First off, a little weather, increasing clouds today, highs around 61, not much in the way of wind to talk about tonight, rain. Coming in rather late, lows around 47, and all of that blown over us by a west wind, 6 miles per hour. For tomorrow, showers likely, mostly cloudy. Again, why do they say that? Obviously, it's going to be cloudy. Otherwise, how would you have showers if it wasn't cloudy? Anyway, that said, highs near 62. And for tomorrow night, there's a slight chance of showers, overcast skies, and a low around 47, and light west winds. We have an extraordinary guest today. Lisa DeVille joins us. She is on the Fort Berthold Reservation in North Dakota, and she's joining us from there. She is with the Dakota Resource Council Board, the Western Organization of Resource Councils. She's board member there also. And she is right there in the eye of a really dirty storm. What's happening in the Dakotas is a real crime against nature and certainly against First Nations, whose land it truly is, and whose land has been desecrated by mining. The flares at night would be just one element of the mess that is being made. But first, a couple of updates here from Cascadia. The Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs, Oregon, are supporting a measure banning the production of more than 1,000 gallons of bottled water, and I'm saying plastic bottles of water, by Nestle in Hood River County. The debate over the Nestle bottling plant is really heating up. The city is now 3 weeks away from vote on Measure 1455. Activists there, Aurora Duval and many others, Lena Jack also, we could go on naming names forever. The people who have fought the good fight have put time, energy, and resources into getting signatures to getting this on the ballot in the first place. And now, of course, at the very last minute, in comes some money from the industry. Nestle has poured millions into this campaign. They come in late after all the hard work has been done, and to capitalize on the fact that that is a ballot measure today. Whole picture is so ugly. It's just incredible. We'll be speaking probably with Deborah Delval and Lena Jack tomorrow on exactly this problem. It is a problem for all of us, because if this happens, we set a really grim precedent for what could happen in other areas around Oregon. Oregon, of course, having despite the extraction and exploitation industries that have capitalized on Oregon's natural resources, we still have a little bit left. And companies such as Nestle, right now, believe me when I say, they are already looking at what else they might be able to take advantage of, capitalize on, monetize, should this go forward. If this ballot measure is defeated, then we're in for some serious fights ahead. And we really can't handle any more. We're already on many fronts fighting for our forests, our wetlands, our streams, and all the creatures and plants that live here in this extraordinary place. So we are watching very, very closely what happens in Cascade Locks. That said, we want to bring on Lisa DeVille with the Dakota Resource Council. Good morning, Lisa.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you so much for joining us today. How are things in the Dakotas?
They're okay. Just, you know, I live with oil and gas every day and have to see it every day, the reality of it, so...
Yeah, you're in the eye of a dirty storm, is what we said earlier. And I wondered if you could talk a little bit. I understand that the gas flares at night are horrendous and light up the sky. So living with that, indigenous people have a right to their land and have a right to control the land. Indigenous justice has not been invoked here, and it should have been before any other type of laws ever came into play. So can you tell us a little bit about what the impact has been on your community? You're on the Fort Berthold Reservation, is that right?
Yes, I'm on the Fort Berthold Indian Reservation here in North Dakota, and we're also called the Mandan Hidatsa Nrikwa Nation. We have about 1,500 producing wells here and 15 more to be extracted just on our reservation.
How big is the reservation?
There's Fort Berthold, Standing Rock, Turtle Mountain, Spirit Lake.
Wow.
I think that's it. There's like four of them, five of them with a service area, I think they call it Triton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So... how long has this been going on? What have you seen over recent years? How has it crept up, I guess?
Or? Well, we always knew about the Bakken Formation, and there was a study on it, all these things back in the 60s, I believe, and then that's when the oil extraction really had taken off in western North Dakota. Now, at Fort Berthold, there was just maybe about 20 of them. Then in the mid-2000s, that's when it really started taking off. 2008, it started getting more and more. 2010 came, and I realized the impact of the oil and gas from my friend's home that had yellow snow around her house. And so I started asking questions. She said, can you please come over here and see my yard? She said, I already know where this yellow stuff is coming from. Huge flaring behind her house. And so I started asking questions. And why this? Why that? I know we pay taxes. Why aren't we? Why don't we have a new school? All these things. And why is oil so trash? We have no gas here in Mandaree, yet we're the biggest producing royalties for our tribe. You know, all these things that come into my mind in 2010. So our post office is about to be closed. So I went door to door with my husband, and we found out how important things were to them about the oil and gas and how it was affecting them. And you know, particulate matter, our roads being destroyed. I mean, you name it, everything that comes with oil and gas was here, you know. And so the oil, I start realizing the flaring, and I was worried about seepage, leakage, anything that goes in the air has to land somewhere. And I started thinking about things, you know, worried me, and our future generation was in jeopardy here. And so I started, I went to the college, and to better understand my advocacy, I went back to school for environmental science. And although I hold an MBA in master's in management, but I wanted to learn more, because I do not know everything. I still don't know a lot of what's happening to us today, because we don't have no research, no environmental justice, we don't have no monitoring here, and it's been a struggle for us. And it's been a struggle to get the people or our tribal leaders to understand what's happening to us, because they're also not educated in that area. It's all new to us what's happening to us. So, and not only that, you also have the money that comes with it. Don't get me wrong, we just received $65 million for Dakota Access to go under our lake for a pipeline. So it's challenging when they give you the money, and then why didn't you come to us to ask us if this is good for Mandaree, where we're impacted every single day. So with that, I'll get back to the flaring. Sorry, I know I kind of went off, but like you had said, I and my husband testified in D.C. twice so far, the methane rule. And yeah, every direction you look, there are gas flares. It sounds like a roaring jet plane that rumbles in the ground like a train passing by. At the night sky, it's lit up still like it's day.
Oh, so that must be is going to take a toll on people's health. It's got to affect people.
Well, it is going to, and people don't understand. We need the monitoring, like I said, and that's not really happening here. I've been pushing for that. I mean, my husband and I have been pushing for creating environmental laws and policies on oil and gas development and strictly enforcing them, because we don't know the unrepairable consequences of environmental damage and environmental health that we're experiencing. Just recently, we had seven horses pass away. And so my environmental health went out to go and conduct the water sample, and there's toluene in the surface water there. Now, what's happening in Pennsylvania, they've been extracted way before us. What's happening over there, I gave them the testimonies over there that they gave to me. And here, I asked him, I said, why, what are we going to do when this is here? And everything that's happening in Pennsylvania is here. So
Lisa, we have to go. We are on our membership drive. I cannot thank you enough for that. You are. It's so kind of you to join us. I want to invite you back on the show again. I want to continue to hear this. This has been, of course, Air Cascadia. We're going to go to membership room. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand and call that number right now, 877-500-5266. Friends, volunteers, members are out there right now. Wonderful people. You should call. Meet somebody.
877-500-5266. Meet us, the rest of your community. KABU is that hub around which the community sort of revolves, really, because we are the center that goes deep into so many communities, bringing together the stories, the information, the news from each other so that we can inform each other, so that we can, in fact, take right action and make the world a better place. We thank Chris for her contribution just about every weekday here on Air Cascadia. And she does this as a labor of love, because she is actually impassioned to bring forth information that you just don't get other places. She works hard to find contacts so that we can hear stories from people directly affected, from the policies, from the practices that are happening around us today. And then we can sort of draw the lines between the dots. We can make the connections, and we can, in fact, then live informed lives and take right action. The tangible right action for you to take right now is to pick up your phone and call 877-500-5266. 866 and say yes to your community radio station, because we are making a difference in this world. 877-500-5266. We are looking to raise $100 this morning in support of Air Cascadia, and we can do that right now with your call.
We're asking you to meet us, but you don't need to even meet us halfway. We're asking you to meet us a tiny, tiny, minute fraction of the way. It's actually like 0.00000001% of the way when you call 877-500-5266.
That's what stuck there for a minute.
No, I knew what I was doing. No. Peter in Corbett, thank you so much. He's a dear friend of mine. He renewed his message. Thank you, Peter. And Edward in Brownsville, thank you so much for renewing your membership. And you're pointing the way to other people. Particularly, I think that this is great. Corbett and Brownsville, we're not in the middle of the big city. It's hard enough to find real voices, real information in the big city. And I've always believed that an institution like KBOO has to be as important as it is in the big city, it's also got to be important as you get out into the more rural areas with less people, that maybe less conversations can be had. We do, at least in Oregon, tend to expect a certain increase in conservative viewpoints in rural areas. And so that's why having these different contrasting voices can be really important. So perhaps you're in Corvallis, or perhaps you're in the Coast Range, or perhaps you're across the river in Washington. And you have found this to be true for yourself. People like Chris Andre coming in every day bringing you this information that you're not getting down at the diner. Why don't you call us at 877-500-5266? And if you're around town, then what excuse? Call us right now and introduce yourself. We're looking forward to hearing from you. 877-500-KBOO.
KBOO would like to thank our community partners that donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by La Jarochitas at Southwest Altar between 9th and 10th. Lunch was provided by Dot's Cafe, located at 2520.